Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Talk Spicy. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining me wherever you are joining me. Rate the show, comment, agree, disagree, but whatever you do, keep it spicy. 5-star ratings are appreciated. And if you're joining me on the YouTube channel, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe. Football is back and in full effect, and it is fantastic. We had football from literally from Thursday straight through to today. We may get it tomorrow. I don't know if Maction is back. Just a couple things, because you said a lot, right? And when I say you, I mean all of you. I don't mean all of you as in every single one of you. I mean as a collective in different areas. You said it. But what happened, right? You said it, but what happened? I go all the way down to like to my level, to the high school level. People praying on the downfall of my team. We had some issues that had to get straightened out. We went into a game down 2 quarterbacks, down 5 or 6 starters versus a team that is a well-coached, disciplined squad and got those cookies. Why? Because the people who were in the fold decided that they wanted to listen, that they wanted to be coached, that they wanted to follow the rules. And across the board, regardless of where you coach at, I just want to tell you, don't ever let players dictate your culture. If they're not in lockstep with what it is that you want to do as your culture, you can't let them dictate it. You can't be hypnotized by talent. I see some of these teams in these areas, lots of talent and can't win. Why? It's simple. The culture, right? Where is the culture? It's amazing to me that we can be down top 2 quarterbacks and 5 to 6 starters and still come out with a W. Why? Because the people who were there believed in the culture. If you don't have players that believe in your culture, it's for 2 reasons. Either 1, you don't have a culture, or 2, they don't want to buy in. And if it's 2, I don't care how good they are, how talented they are, how much parents or administrators are going to be like, why can't that kid play? Why can't you get them? If you don't cut that cancer out, it will corrode your entire team. And it doesn't take a few games to fix it. It takes years to fix it. It takes years. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because when your freshman class and your sophomore class and your junior class are looking at your seniors, they are setting the tone for what those guys will do when they are seniors. So if you have seniors that skip classes, that don't come to practice on time, that make every excuse in the world for why they can't be there or why they messed up, guess what the people below them are going to do when they're in that position? They're going to begin to do the same types of things. But you said it was the talent. You said it was the coaching, right? You said that was the reason. You said it, right? That's always what happens. Anytime people are losing, the first thing they go to is, oh, these coaches don't know what they're doing. That's the first thing they go to. I had people swear people up and down, and I didn't know what I was doing. It's been a moniker of life. Anytime you don't have success, somebody is going to question the coach's ability. Nobody ever questions the kids' dedications. They just blame the coach for not getting the kids to be more bought in. But we live in a special time. I don't know if a lot of these kids actually want to play football. or basketball or softball or volleyball. Like, I don't know if they really want to play. Some of them are playing because they believe that's what they're supposed to do. And unfortunately, the product suffers because of that. If I have a team of 50 kids and 18 of them don't really want to play football, they're just out there because they want to put a uniform on Friday and take pictures, or because they're big and somebody say, hey man, you too big to not be playing football. Guess what I would rather do? I would rather not have those 18 kids, go to war with those 32 kids that really want to be out there, and let the chips fall where they may. Yeah, you're going to lose some games, but you're going to win some games that you're not supposed to win because they bought into the culture. So to all my coaches out there doing your thing at the youth league level, high school, college, small college, whatever it might be, if you're having issues, don't just always put it on yourself, right? Don't just always say, oh, well, I got to do a better job of getting these kids to buy in. No, no, no. Say, I have to let some people go. For the betterment of the team, I have to let those other kids that are not bought in, I need to let them find themselves. And maybe if they decide down the road they want to come back into the fold and be bought in, you can welcome them with open arms. But you cannot sacrifice the culture of the other kids that are all around of your program because that kid runs a 4.4, or because that kid is 6'3" and 215 pounds and everybody says that he's a Division I athlete, or because that kid was a really, really good performer for you last year, but now he's just an a-hole. Right? You can't be held hostage to talent. It never works. It never works anywhere at any level. When you are held hostage to talent and the talent doesn't want to do what they're supposed to do, then you're not going to be successful. It's that simple. And it was awesome to find that out or be reminded of that this weekend. For me personally, it's always good to be reinforced that this is what we're supposed to be doing. Right? It's always great to be reinforced that this is how it's supposed to go. Because a lot of times when you do that, when you have guys out for discipline reasons, the other kids, if they're not really bought into what you're doing, guess what they do? They rebel. Oh, free my man. I saw University of Michigan, some players were wearing free Harbaugh shirts, right? And I thought it was hilarious. Why? Because he broke the rules. You broke the rules at a school where you don't have to break the rules because you got all the money imaginable to recruit better than anybody else around the country. You still broke the rules. You got in trouble for it. You got suspended. And now you got players saying free Harbaugh. Trash. Pure unadulterated trash. But you told us, you said it. You said Michigan had arrived. I'm still waiting for Michigan to look like the number two team in the country. Because right now, they look like a team that's going to get beat by a couple Big Ten squads if they play. They don't look like the number two team in the country. I'm still waiting on Jim Harbaugh to develop an elite level quarterback because he's never done it. Not once in Jim Harbaugh's career has he developed an elite level quarterback. And yet everybody keeps saying that he's this guru. He couldn't get Milton to play. Milton's down at Tennessee. Right? He's constantly went out and gotten transfer portal quarterbacks to come in and plug and play. Now he's got McCarthy. McCarthy's been in the fold for how many years? He still looks okay. Doesn't look great. But you said it. You said he was supposed to be the one. You said he was supposed to be the one. Guess what? He ain't the one. He's not the one. And you can be a really good coach without somebody raising you to the level of deity. And I'm not even afraid to say it. Jim Harbaugh should be on a hot seat. You've had ample amounts of time, all the resources in the world to get this team to a championship. The bar for the University of Michigan is not making the college football playoff. The bar for Michigan is winning national titles. And when you've been there for 5, 6, 7 years, however long it's been now, the clock should be ticking. Yo, if you can't get us over the hump, then somebody else should. Right? It's that simple. If he can't get you there, then somebody else should. All of these quarterbacks that in college that people keep telling us, that you keep saying are good, you keep showing us mediocre highlights from Drake May and trying to convince us that these are high-level throws where he's throwing to wide-open people running down the field. You keep trying to convince us that these are great. Meanwhile, Shedeur Sanders is out there murdering things. Y'all are like, oh, that's a cute story. Right? Michael Penix Jr. is out there in Washington murdering things. Oh, well, Washington is great. Why are you not hyping up these awesome, phenomenal black quarterbacks the same way you out there hyping up Drake May? The same way you hyping up these guys who have done nothing in the biggest games. The biggest games of Drake May's career, he's come up short. You want to know who Drake May is? Drake May is Mitchell Trubisky. Same school, same thought process. He's Mitchell Trubisky. Y'all out here making this dude into the next coming of Andrew Luck, who, by the way, if we're being honest about it, was probably too overrated as well. Threw a lot of interceptions, had a lot of turnovers. I digress. But you said he was the one, right? Caleb Williams, he's him. We don't got to talk about him no more. He's him, right? But who's the next people? I can tell you they all look like Caleb Williams. They don't look like Drake May. They don't look like Drake May. At some point, you guys are going to have to come to grips with the fact that this position is never going to look like your daddy and your granddaddy's position look. It's going to have a different flair. It's going to have a different swagger. It's going to have a different panache to it. You got to get used to it. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. The speech pattern is going to be different. The way they dress is going to be different. But they conduct themselves the same way on the court. I heard trying to diss Shedeur Sanders saying, oh, well, I wish he was a little bit more athletic. What? When did a lack of athleticism ever stop a white quarterback from being a top-level draft pick? Not for nothing, Shedeur Sanders is plenty athletic. I just don't believe he shows you because he doesn't want you to label him like you label some of these other quarterbacks. I don't think he's interested in you telling him, oh, he's a runner first. He's a dual threat guy. So guess what? He hasn't shown it. And I love that. I love it. I love that he carries a chip on his shoulder. I love that he calls people out the same way his father calls people out. Because you said they weren't going to be good. And then after they steamrolled TCU, well, I shouldn't say steamrolled, after his offense steamrolled TCU, You guys said, yeah, but TCU's not really that great. And then you said, well, what's going to happen? And then in the first half, I had to hear Joel Klatt talk all of the trash about these quarterbacks, Shedeur Sanders, and about Jeff Sims from Nebraska. There was nothing positive. Everything was negative. Everything was skewed negative. And I said, man, it don't feel right. And then Colorado came out in the second half and put a full-blown baby in Nebraska. Shedeur Sanders, 300 and some change again. Multiple touchdowns again. Rushing touchdown. Crickets. What we seeing? We seeing Drake make easy wide open throws to wide open wide receivers. We see people get all hyped up over Drake May running the ball. Y'all gotta stop from me. I don't want to hear about no Jackson Dart. I don't want to hear about no bro. If y'all don't start telling us about these real live goons that's playing quarterback right now, these real G's that's playing quarterback right now, because what you're showing is that you don't watch college football. You just wait for what's going to be the sexy storyline, and then you jump on it. This ain't nothing new from Shedeur Sanders. He's been doing this for 3 years. He's just elevating the level. That's it. That is it. You know what else you said? You said that this was going to be Daniel Jones' year. You said that this was going to be Kenny Pickett's year, right? You said that this was going to be a bounce back year for Matthew Stafford. You said that this was going to be a bounce back year for Jimmy Garoppolo. You said that Sam Howell was going to be the unquestioned best thing to happen to Washington. Right? You said those things. You said that David Carr was going to be a way better upgrade from what they had at quarterback before. You said all of these things, and all of these quarterbacks came out there and looked pedestrian. They all came out there and looked average. And in Daniel Jones' case, he didn't look average. He looked like Daniel Jones. Like, we don't want to, we act like we're afraid to say it when guys have awful games, but boy, y'all were really, really on all of the people who said, why did y'all pay Daniel Jones and not pay Saquon Barkley? Why did y'all pay Daniel Jones and not pay Saquon Barkley? Hey, why did y'all give Daniel Jones all that money? Why did y'all give Daniel Jones that? And the answer to everybody, oh, he didn't have weapons. Oh, he didn't do this. He didn't do that. Well, guess what? They went out and got him weapons. They went out and got him an elite level tight end. They went out and got several wide receivers. They went out and drafted a wide receiver that all of you guys raved about in the preseason. That he put on the Odell Beckham 13, and all of y'all just jumped in and was like, yes, that's what we want. And you know what that quarterback went out there and did? You know what that quarterback went out there and did? He went out there and went 15 to 28 for 104 yards and 2 interceptions. That quarterback was sacked 7 times. At what point in the NFL, when you're out there stroking off the coaching staff on how good they are, right? Y'all gave them all the presents. When you out there telling us how good the GM is. Oh my God, Joe Shane, he's going to find talent everywhere. He's doing everything he possibly can. We've closed the gap on the Dallas Cowboys. We've closed the gap on the Philadelphia Eagles. Yo, the Cowboys are not even the best team in the division. And with that type of performance, you're not beating Washington either. With that performance, you're not beating Washington either. Like, as a guy who writes for the Giants, it's really hard for me to watch that game last night. Like, yo, this is bad. I'm going to have to address this, and then people are going to call me a hater because I've got to point out the fact Daniel Jones is holding the ball too long. Daniel Jones didn't look like he was decisive with the ball. He looked a little shook. He looked like the moment was a little too big for him. And the results were 15 for 28, 104 yards, 2 interceptions, no touchdowns, 7 sacks. When I said that there was issues at the right tackle, right? When I said there were issues at the right tackle, he had to get better in pass protection. I wasn't lying. I wasn't lying when I said they needed more things in pass protection. I wasn't lying when I said that it might take the rookie center a little bit of time to adjust. I wasn't lying when I said their focus should have been on improving at the guard position, especially left guard. But no. Joe Shane has done a great job. This coaching staff, innovative. And then you go out there and you do that on primetime television? Don't tell me it was raining, because Dallas had to deal with the rain too. Dallas had to deal with the rain. They didn't even really need Dak Prescott to do much, but it wouldn't have mattered because he was carving the Giants up when he decided he wanted to throw the ball. Their running game was doing work. Tony Pollard averaged 5 yards a carry. They added all of these additions on the defensive line. They added linebackers. They still couldn't stop the run. 5 yards a carry from Tony Pollard. 4 yards from Rico Dowdell. 4.7 from Kevontae Turpin. Dak even carried the ball for 6 yards. This is the NFL, right? This ain't college. This ain't high school where you being critical of a coach when he might not have, like in high school, it doesn't make any sense. We get what we get in high school, right? In college, okay, you can criticize him because you chose him. You got to develop him. In the NFL, there is no excuse. There is zero excuse. I don't even know what the post-game presser was like. But if it was anything but, hey man, we got our butts kicked, we got to get back in the lab and figure it out, then I don't want to hear it. And this doesn't mean it's the end of the world for the Giants, right? But this tells me this ain't last year. These teams came in fully loaded and ready to show that the Giants are still just the Giants. And Daniel Jones, in game one of his new $40 million a year lifestyle, looked like the Daniel Jones that I said they should get up out of here last year, the year before, and the year before that. Again, it's only one game, but since we spent the entire offseason applauding, since we spent the entire offseason making it feel like they had already won a championship, we are well within our rights to criticize them today. But I'm not even, like, here's the crazy part. I don't even have criticism just for teams that lost. I have criticism for teams that won. Because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the team that I call my squad, they won a game. And Luke Easterling, shout out to Luke, spent the entire offseason essentially crapping on Byron Leftwich as an offensive play caller. Never adjusted when they got injuries. Never switched anything up. Didn't do this, didn't do that. put no blame on Brady, put no blame on the front office. It was all Byron Leftwich's fault. And that was what the media in Tampa ran with. It was Byron Leftwich's fault. So what we got to do, we got to get rid of Byron Leftwich. Oh, we brought in a new offensive coordinator all spring. Oh my gosh, this offense looks so much more innovative. Baker Mayfield is going to kill it in this offense. Oh, these running backs that we've never heard of before they got to Tampa Bay are all really good. And then what happened? You go out there and you look pedestrian. Nobody's talking about how many yards that the defense gave up. Why? Because they won the game. That's why. Because they won the game. Baker Mayfield, ho-hum pedestrian numbers, but no interceptions, so you'll take it. Only one sack, so you'll take it, right? The run game, 2.2 yards a carry. 33 rushes for the offense. 2.2 yards a carry. Somebody tell me where the innovation is at in this game. I watched it. I watch every Bucs game. I watch every Bucs game multiple times. Somebody tell me where the innovation's at. Somebody tell me where it looked. Bro, just because it looks different doesn't mean it's innovative. Just because it looks different doesn't mean it's cutting edge. That offense looked like trash. That offense is not beating any good team. Minnesota Vikings are not a good team. That's the same Minnesota Vikings team last year that gave up the most yards in the NFL. They didn't make any real legitimate additions. They did make a subtraction. They got rid of Dalvin Cook. And you want to know what they were missing yesterday? They were missing a Dalvin Cook. If Minnesota Vikings had a Dalvin Cook in that game yesterday, they probably blow the Buccaneers out. Instead, they had Alexander Mattison, who is a really good number two, who can be a spot starter, but is really, 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 really there to be a number two. And then they sat up there and let Kirk Cousins throw the ball 44 times. That is not the recipe for success if you are the Minnesota Vikings. You want to keep Kirk Cousins at 30 and under when it comes to these passes. But he threw for 344 yards. Cool. A lot of empty calorie stats when you lose, though. There's stuff all around. I can't believe how many people this offseason sat and told us how good Justin Herbert was supposed to be. Justin Herbert is the greatest thing. He's the best quarterback in the league. They gave us every excuse of why he hasn't found success. They told us that this year with more weapons, right? This year with more weapons and a better offensive coordinator, because they blamed him on the offensive coordinator. This is now his third offensive coordinator, by the way. With more weapons and a better offensive coordinator, he's going to be better. And you know what? The offense decided that the best route to success was to not let Justin Herbert go out there and throw the ball 50 times. So they ran the ball. And Eckler had 117 yards, a rare 100-yard game for Eckler, because he had a 55-yard touchdown run, right? But really, the real running back, Joshua Kelly, ran for 91 yards and only had a long of 14, which means that he was consistently running it. But it was great because this game was Justin Herbert versus the Dolphins and their number one quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, which everybody was convinced they should have taken Justin Herbert instead of Tua. You know what Tua did? 466 yards, 3 touchdowns, and the win. How you like them apples? talking all that Justin Herbert jazz. He went out there and threw for 228 yards. 228 yards and a touchdown. Oh, he rushed for one too. I got to give him his rushing love. He rushed for one. But I thought he was like a QB1 fantasy guy this year, right? That's what y'all told me. That's what you said. You said that. You said it. I didn't. Like, when we've been telling you that this Justin Herbert jazz is empty calories for the last 2-3 years, y'all been telling us that we lying. We hating. He don't got no help. He don't got no weapons. And then you laid out over the summertime why he should be the best in the league this year and lead his team to a Super Bowl, and he couldn't win a shootout with the guy that everybody says, oh, well, he should have been taken over. And by everybody, I mean you. And you know who I'm talking to. Sometimes, if you don't say anything, people don't know how stupid you are. A lot of you out there need to start exercising a little bit of silence. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Talk Spicy. Do this thing a few times a week. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. Rate the show, comment, agree, disagree, but whatever you do, keep it spicy. 5-star ratings are appreciated. If you join me on the YouTube channel, make sure you like. Make sure you subscribe. We're getting close to 5,000. I want to see that 5,000 here within the next few days. Till next time, peace.